Hi, Ken, how are you?
I'm very well, Zach. How are you doing this morning?
I'm okay. I don't know. I don't have that the fuzzy feeling that you seem to look as though you have. But let's get on to the stocks and the markets that you picked out today. Got three slides to look at. Starting off with the S&P, which nearly rolled over but didn't.
Yes, very, very crucial image to look at today. As my colleague was saying yesterday, when everybody is bearish, there's bearishness all around, and you know, pessimism about the earnings season, the wariness about the Fed. You know, it's like, oh, it's the end. It's the end. It really must be the end. It's surely time to buy, he said. And if you look at the retracements, another one of which we completed yesterday, these retracements since, June, July, have been very, very shallow, 38.2%. As a fellow technical analyst, Zach, you know that that is one of the shallowest retracements that you can have, and it tends to speak of the continuation of the prevailing trend, which in this case for the S&P is higher.
Right, so they just took out all the stops below 2120 and back up again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a lot to be wary about. We had probably one part of the jigsaw was lost yesterday when we had the very bad, worse than expected Japanese trade figures. Because obviously they speak, but they kind of like suggest that the GDP figures that we're going to get next week could be bad as well. And we had been thinking that things had been improving in China. We need to see sort of like a sort of stabilization in China's economy as, you know, another part of the marginal picture that makes up a whole to sort of keep investors on track on the bullish trend. But if that's not working, we may have a rate hike in December. Earnings could be bad, then perhaps, yes, there are grounds. But nevertheless, I think U.S. investors steadied yesterday evening.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next market, which is the FTSE 100.
Very, very similar picture here as well. So, of course, it's what a week we've had in the U.K., of course, related to Brexit. What a week the political class has had as well in the U.K. More sort of like turnarounds or about faces than an ice skater.
It's good to hear the Scots are going. The Scots are going. They're off.
Absolutely.
Second time lucky. First you don't succeed. Well, try again.
Let's see what happens. You know, will it even happen? Will it even take place? There's so much going on. A lot of it is hot air and will prove to be. For the FTSE, you've got to bear in mind that it almost lives in a world of its own. It lives in the international world, of course, because most of its revenues come from overseas, revenues for its companies. And what's bad for the pound tends to be good for the FTSE. But of course, we don't want the pound to fall too fast because that suggests destabilization and investors get a bit wary about it. And that's why the FTSE was pausing, because of the sharp decline of the pound, further decline of the pound in the last 10 days or so. But nevertheless, that's a bit of a tailwind. And the fact that a lot of the unknowns are now known should actually mean that the FTSE is not going to break that trend line that the very, very main trend line I drew on the chart. And we should continue to higher gains steadily and orderly to a new all-time high, very likely in the next fortnight or so, I would say.
Okay, well, let's go on to a company which is my particular favourite at the moment, Unilever.
Everybody likes Unilever, not everybody likes Marmite. As widely predicted, Tesco and Unilever came to terms yesterday evening, and they're best of friends again. Mostly this thing is just illustrative, isn't it? Essentially, we have a large company which, you know, can certainly sort of like absorb the implied impact from the devaluation of the pound, which hits margins, which raises costs in the UK if you're buying from overseas, and of course crunches sales revenues in the UK because of the value is lower. They're amongst, you know, of all the conglomerates in the world that make food, I think Unilever is the one that can absorb them. But if they're complaining, if they're trying to push through a 10% sort of price hike, that's pretty bearish for that particular sector. And, you know, they may have sorted stuff out, but I think the chart makes clear that the uptrend that was in place. If you look very carefully on that chart, by the way, Zach, you'll see that Unilever actually rose on the 24th of June. That was very, very significant. It rose and it continued to rise from the 24th of June up till a few days ago, when you can see it broke that trend line. And it's certainly threatening to kind of like give up a lot of gains now. And I think that says a lot about where we are in the United Kingdom right now.
Are you sure you would describe pot noodle as actually being food?
Would you describe Marmite as being food?
No, that's something you put on the road, I think. So here it looks like we've got a breakdown, a gap down as well, bull trap through the June peak, back down towards £34?
I'm not so sure about the target. I actually think that, you know, of all the companies, as I said again, it's one of the strongest. Strong margins, margin growth, the target margin growth of 3% to 5%. That's got to be wrong, hasn't it? But nevertheless, I think their margin growth will always be at least 0.3 to 0.5%. Every year. You know, the food company, the sort of retailers and the other consumer goods companies would kill for that kind of steadiness. And of course, they're widely attenuated around the globe. Revenue streams in virtually every country. Unilever's not going to go anywhere. I mean, it may be a bit of a phase of retracement consolidation, but a very, very strong play in that sector, I would say.
Ken Oluga, market analyst at City Index, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.